couple of the panelists were talking about how younger voters, you guys teach millennials and younger voters, were extremely engaged during the primary, very involved, and now just seem to kind of dropped off the radar and don't care.
Well, I think part of it is that younger voters were largely Sanders supporters. And once Bernie Sanders was moved out of the Democratic nomination, Clinton was a little less popular with that particular demographic. And so I think that combined with her stances on some issues, namely foreign policy, that doesn't necessarily resonate very well with more liberal, younger voters. It's been a difficult mobilization process. What that means for this demographic's turnout and their participation rates this cycle means that it could be lower.
But at the same time, overall, people are paying attention to this race, even though it's not close, and they're historically extremely unpopular candidates.
Yes, and overall, if you had given me a scenario where you had two unpopular candidates, this unpopular candidates, and Clinton is historically unpopular, but Trump is even much, much more so, I would have said that the turnout, especially in a election that looks like it's not going to be all that competitive with 6 or 7 percentage point race, I would have told you the turnout would have gone down. That being said, if you look at the level of political interest, now people can be interested because something's a train wreck, or they can be interested because of policy content. I think we can all kind of come to a conclusion which one this is. What we see from Trump's ability to gin up interest, that has driven political interest in this election, right? And we usually think of that translating as interest translating into participation.
You touched a little bit on the idea of vote splitting, where someone's going to vote for someone at the top of the ticket and then members of a different party down ticket. How common is that? And what do you think we're going to see this election cycle, especially with Republicans who aren't that happy with Trump?
It has been a relatively rare phenomenon in the last few cycles. Most people who are strong partisans go into the voting booth and just vote for their party regardless of name. What we often see, even people who identify as independents, are also relatively straight ticket voters. It's just that the unpopularity, especially of candidate Trump, makes it more likely that people will vote for Clinton, or independents will vote for Clinton, then go down ballot and maybe prefer a Republican candidate for Congress, especially Senate and or House. What we're seeing from the polling right now is that that is more likely in this particular election cycle than it has been in 2012, 2008, 2004. A lot of that comes down to the unpopularity of Trump and people's willingness to actually split their ticket from between a Democrat at the presidential level and the Republican for their congressional vote.
Several people touched on this during the forum, the idea of, you know, this being so unique with Trump as the candidate and Clinton and the dynamic we have going on there, and how much of this divisiveness and anger, especially from Trump supporters, if he does not win, will carry forward and impact the Republican Party. We've got Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, who's at odds with Trump right now. Your thoughts?
Within the Republican Party right now, there are many ideologically disparate groups that are trying to fit under the Republican umbrella. Between fiscal conservatives, social conservatives, Tea Party conservatives, and kind of Trump populists. When we think about how hard that is, I mean, if we think back to the Republican nomination process and how contentious that was, that's a relatively rare phenomenon. It's very rare that you get partisans, especially sitting members of the party who are hold office, coming out against their presidential nominee. That's reflective of this really tough spot the Republicans are in. And Paul Ryan is there in the middle of it, trying to hold it all together. And I think that'll be very interesting come with the new House and the new Republican caucus, whether or not he's able to hold on to that speakership because of those divides.
And as with some of the congressional races, moderate Republicans, some of them may not be back in the next term. So there's going to be a even more conservative caucus in the House.
That's right. And what that means is while the Democrats are probably going to gain 10 or 15 seats, most of those were obviously Republican-held seats, and those people are in competitive districts. And the reason they're in competitive districts is because they're relatively moderate compared to the rest of the Republicans. So the Republican caucus in the next Congress will be more ideologically homogenous.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Benta.
That's Kyle Saunders, professor of political science at Colorado State University. I'm Benta Berkland in Fort Collins.